It's time for Blindly Obvious.
Hello and welcome to Blindly Obvious. I'm Tyler with my co-host Jeff, and today we are on the discussion of wins and losses. And winning's supposed to be the easy thing, you know. Everybody likes to be on top and do their best and be awarded for doing so, but how do we deal with the times in life in which we lose, you know, when we're not the victor, or maybe we suffer a loss in life and whatnot?
Well, first let me ask you this. Are you winning now or losing?
Well, I hope I'm winning. I feel like I'm winning in life currently. I've, gotten back on the godly path, and I feel like my family's healthy, and we've got a great place to live, and, you know, those all feel like wins to me in my life personally. Yourself?
I think so. You know, it's like in what category? I can't help it. It's like, you know, I go, yeah, but then someone goes, well,
sure.
You know, what category? Like, you know, for example, I am not financially where I thought I would be 30 years ago. Like when I envisioned, I was thinking that wouldn't it be great when I'm getting close to 50 that I'm retired.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
That ain't gonna happen. You know what I mean? So that I'm losing there, man, big time. You know, and I know, like, for example, with the economy, there's people who have gone into retirement who've had to go back to the workforce.
Getting a part-time job or...
Yeah, so...
I think it's getting harder and harder, certainly, to do what you just said, to have that goal of retiring by 50 because things are getting so much more expensive.
Well, yeah, and there's just so much uncertainty with life, right? There are some things that are certain, but there's some things that aren't, and so it's... I feel like I'm always having to redraw my lines, you know, and maybe that's the best way to say it is that, you know, here it is. I feel good about life. I feel good about my situation for the wins and the losses. Like, it's okay.
Yeah, I get that.
So that's what I would say. I don't know that I would say I'm winning, but I don't know that I'm losing.
And, you know, you kind of just made a good point there when you said I feel like I keep redrawing my lines. I kind of feel in society we all... maybe redraw our lines on occasion, maybe just move the line back a little bit and accept this or that. You know, you think, is that a win for you or is that a win for someone else?
Yeah.
You know, is that a series of small losses for you in reality?
And I guess there's, in that same vein, there's just some losses. Yeah, you accept, but some of them you're at peace with. It's like, you know, that really helped that person. Like, you know, there's been times, like, for example, I had $20 in my pocket. And I was going to spend it somewhere, but I never got to because when I reached in my pocket to get my keys, I pulled out my keys and the dollar, $20, and it fell on the ground and somebody else got to spend it, you
sure.
know? So and you just think to yourself, well, I hope they spend it well. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know, but
hopefully
I lost,
it was well needed.
But it was somebody else's win. And so there's just some things that you're like, you know what? Well, it's not about me anyway. And I just hope that person needed it.
Absolutely.
So how about this? As humanity, society as a whole, what do you think? I mean, for all of our advancements and
I don't think we're winning. Because I think there is such a disparity among those who have and those who have not that with the abundance of, you know, everything that's available on this earth, whether it be resources or there shouldn't be people starving and then other people who own, you know, 250 different properties across the nation. And I understand there's obviously working for what you want and whatnot, but there just seems to be such a disparity for the conveniences and the technologies that we have available that the world shouldn't be suffering in the way it is, in my opinion.
So let me try and rephrase this and you tell me if I'm getting it wrong. You're saying that really in order for us to be winning the way you look at the lens through which you look at the world, to be winning, there should be a more balance in regard to fairness of what people have for the necessities of life.
Absolutely. And I mean, there's many, many circumstances to which people are having their things taken. I mean, inflation's a great example. You're having your wealth taken right from under you. And you have, I mean, imagine, you know, being retired on a fixed income, or you're going to be priced right out of existence in a matter of no time.
I don't know that people understand the crisis that's coming as a result of what you just said. That's to me one of the terrifying. Now I think about myself. This people who, like you just said, who are retired, fixed income, the 80-year-old woman or man who are, or hopefully they're not alone. They've got family to help care for them, but
and they just spent their entire life earning and working and paying their way into the system that was supposed to benefit them. They were supposed to be able to win from it.
I mean, they've done worn that body out. You know what I mean?
There's not
much left to give, and these were at least of the American dream. They were sold that this is going to be like your moment to just kind of chill and relax.
Right.
And
this isn't even supposed to be their moment to give. They've already given. This is supposed to be their moment to enjoy, and now it's being taken at a rapid pace.
How stressful! And I guess that's really good. Now back to our country. What do you think we're winning or losing as a country?
I think once again, even as a country, you know, you see things like the open borders. It's almost better at this point in time to be a non-citizen than a regular citizen in this country, and that shouldn't be something that anyone here is ever proud of.
Yeah, I've halfway considered, you know, maybe it's time that, you know, I throw away my identity and just try and illegally cross the border, you know, like go over to Panama and then try and come back over. I might be better off financially.
And it's just crazy that's ever the case, in the sense of people used to be proud to come here the right way and build up themselves through that, once again, that American dream. And like all of the immigrants who have come here and have done it the right way, I think once again, even, you know, they're going to be, why are we allowing this to happen when we worked as hard as we could to get here and do the things we've done, and this is what we end up with?
I hate to even refer to it this way, but every boat has a carrying capacity. You know, if you look at a boat that you buy, it says 6 passengers. And anytime you exceed those limitations put in by the manufacturer, you can't sue them because you put 10 people in the boat, right? That's the idea. Mm-hmm. But there actually is a point where the boat can no longer, the structure can no longer support that number. And I love our brothers and sisters who have a huge heart for everybody and want everyone to have and never have to work for it. I love your heart, but the world doesn't work that way. The sloth, the sluggard, you know, as the Bible yep. calls it. And, you know, those people who do nothing but want everything, it's not a viable option. And there's not enough free stuff available. I mean, what is free anyway? They're taken from somebody else exactly. to give it to somebody else. But there's not enough free stuff to go around. And there's a carrying capacity and of those things. I mean, there is benevolence. There is, but someone's having to sacrifice so somebody else can have. And I think we just kind of, we divorced ourselves from that reality. And as Americans, like you just said, we have so much. And so maybe we're not feeling it in painful ways, but we're going to. Because as that number keeps flooding in, we're going to tip over.
Yeah,
we're going to tip over.
Well, and we've been living such, anything we've wanted is at our fingertips in hours. And I think that's going to change. So I think a lot of people are going to get a first world adjustment. For sure.
Yeah.
Or maybe even greater.
I'm afraid we're going to slip from first world is what's going to happen for us. Aside just from inflation and we're talking worldwide here. I just think that we're in for a few surprises coming up, you know,
sure.
and I hate to put that on a negative slant, being that we're talking about winning and losing, you know, whether it's the glass is a half empty or half full. Which one are you, by the way? Are you what do you think?
I try in general to be a glass half full kind of guy. I know at times, you know, I've suffered losses myself, and I haven't always been glass half full in moments of loss, but I try to be that in general and stick to that sense of direction.
I like the idea of being a optimist, but it's funny. I go back and forth. It's like I sip from that both ends.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? I like I don't want to sit there, and I think there's actually a name for it. It's what is it? Irrational optimist. I think it's a psychological term. An irrational optimist.
So you're basically positive no matter the situation.
No matter what's happening, you'd be dying, literally dying. And it's like, oh, it'll be okay. You know, it's fine. My arm's cut off. It's fine. You know,
it'll grow back.
Yeah, give me a Band-Aid. I'm fine. You know, and so it doesn't really matter what's happening. It's everything's awesome. Like that song, you know, from the Everything is Awesome. You know. What was the name of that movie? I can't remember right now, but no, I think there's a fault there. It's like our doomer gloomer people. You can go on the other spectrum of that too and be so negative that no matter how positive and happy things truly are, you ruin the moment. You know,
sure. It's somebody like somebody just handed you $1 million. Why didn't I get 2 million?
Well, no, you're like, I got to pay taxes on that. You know,
that's 25%. I'm not even going to get out of that.
How dare you? You know, you look at the tax burden you just gave me. So it's like, they can just like everything sour and terrible. And so I don't want to be either one of those people. And what's funny is we actually have scripture to guide us on this. You know, there's Proverbs 27:12, where it says, you know, the prudent, which is like a dirty word today, being a prude, the prudent see danger and take refuge. They don't continue. But it says the fool sees danger and continues and suffers for it. You know, so in other words, we should all strive to be those people who are kind of realists and can see a situation for what it is. And it's neither good nor bad. It just is. And I think part of what we bump into, especially as Americans, not all of us, some of us struggle with depression, but our optimist people, you know, there's that irrational side where it's like a normalcy bias where we can't consider an undesirable reality that is outside our normal experience. You know, we just can't recognize it. It's like that movie Titanic where the musicians got out with a boat sinking and they're out there playing instruments like it's no big deal and it's all fine as the boat's going down, you know?
It's going under, right?
Yeah, it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, and I don't know if that really happened in history, but I mean, it was funny in the movie. It's like, seriously? You know, you're going to play some happy songs while you're all about to drown?
Going down with the ship.
You know, but I do think that we've got a little bit of that going on in regard to the political scene that we're bumping into, that they're making these decisions that it's like, decisions that are sinking our country, literally sinking our country, as media is playing the instruments of beautiful songs.
Like nothing's actually going on.
Yeah, everything's fine, man. You're look, correct. What a great job, you know? Wow.
But as you kind of referenced earlier, those same people who, even in the leadership, who are on the top that really do nothing, they take from all of those who do and siphon right off the top all of the money of the people who work hard and pay into that system is taken then by them and dispersed back into their little kickbacks and payoff deals. And I would say the current war going on is a great example of some money in that same directional situation.
I think we've referenced it before. It's like, you know, we got the mafia at the top and it's legalized theft. You know, we're being held up. And, you know, I get that from my father. It's not original with him, but as a kid, I would hear him talk about, you know, how the government misuses power, misuses our money, misuses. That's what they do.
Yep. And what do they say? Absolute power corrupts 100% of the time. Yeah.
Especially,
and it does.
Especially people. God's the only exception there. And I think, you know, we need those checks and balances that are red tape burdens for everyone, but they're there for a reason. And I think we're getting a firsthand glance why, right?
Yep, absolutely. I mean, when there is no check and balance, you see total chaos and free for all. You know, where we're from here, this small town, football in the fall is kind of one of the main bring together big principal keys of our small town. I think the reason that is because there has been a long standing tradition of winning. And for years and years and years, I mean, since, you know, the 80s, they've been successful in winning and winning and winning. And that just goes to show you that winning doesn't start overnight. You know, it's a slow process of a bunch of little things that make the grand success. And I think that also works in reverse. You take a bunch of little compromises, a bunch of little losses, and you're going to find yourself staring down the barrel of a big loss before you know it.
I bet we could go around this neighborhood that we're in right now and go and ask people the very same questions that we just asked, and we're going to get a whole vast hodgepodge of different answers. Some would say we are absolutely winning with their irrational optimism, and you're going to have people who are saying we're failing, it's miserable, we're going down the sewer, you know,
with their doom and gloom or pessimism.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to have both sides, and you're going to have a balance of in betweens. I guess kind of like what we're talking about, being ourselves, trying to be more of a realist. You know, I think really what also comes to factor is what you define as winning. What's the target?
Sure.
And
how do you define success?
Yeah. So that's part of, I think, the mix. And so that'd be a good question for us all to kind of ponder together. But another scripture I want to give you is Proverbs 17:22. And it says, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. And so, again, one of those things where it's like a fulcrum of balance. You know, life is neither good nor bad per se. On that balance beam, think of it this way, it's reality.
Yep.
And what
you make of it.
Yeah, we have the opportunity by our decision. Stop blaming God, saying, why did God let this happen? No. God gave you free will. Use it in the proper way.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
And if you're making the right choices, you're going to find yourself, I'm not saying you're never going to suffer.
Right.
But you're going to find yourself more on the upside of situations rather than the downside of situations more times than not when you're making good, godly decision making.
I could be wrong on this, but look at where we are suffering as a country right now, or even individually. Isn't it the result of ours or somebody else's decisions?
Yes.
You know what I mean? So stop blaming God. Start looking at you and what you can do to, first of all, start changing your reality.
That's
and
exactly
move it
right.
into a proper place. And then we have this wonderful thing called a vote. And what we need to think about, again, how do you assess winning? What is winning? What is losing? And put people in power who represent the people to move this in a direction that is good and not bad, right?
It also aligns with what you believe in.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Absolutely. So
I think really my core thoughts here on this one are that winning really starts with you and how you define that, and getting yourself on a path with God and getting yourself in a situation to where you make a series of small positive decisions and you end up seeing the big win as a grand result.
When you see danger, don't continue. Be smart, be prudent, be wise. And let's all make better, wiser decisions. Decisions that benefit the whole, not just ourselves, and ultimately always please God.
This is a tough one for me, but you know, you don't always have to touch the fire to know it's hot. I'll say that. As always, if we can see it, you can see it too. This has been Blindly Obvious. Visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you can find your favorite podcast listening location, as well as a little bit about us. We are so glad that you're here, and we hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. Peace, love, and God bless.